Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our bi-weekly broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you live from the Hub in Boston, Massachusetts, where we've had a lot of rain for the last few, for practically the whole month of July. Cloudy weather, rain, scattered rain, haze. I don't know what's going on, but these things can happen. It doesn't mean it's climate change or global warming or whatever you want to call it. Could be just one of those summers. But the temperature at air time is 72 degrees, and hopefully we'll get some good weather in the last week of July where the people can get out and about and get down to the beach. I'm not too far from the Atlantic Ocean here in Boston. So I hope you're all safe and doing as best you can in these trying times, as I say in my promo. But you need to pray and ask for God's guidance, and I think everything will turn out fine. I want to give you the call-in number in case you want to call in and talk about the issues of the day. It doesn't have to be what I'm talking about. But the number is 914-803-4379. And if you do call in, please give me your first name and what city and state you're calling from. Or if you're by chance outside the country, what city and country you're calling from. Of course, we can see the weather-wise, we're seeing these floods going on in West Germany, and of course, we have our own problems here, and extremely hot weather in the northwest, especially in Oregon, wildfires, and temperatures well into the 90s, but again, it is the summer, so we need to deal with it and prepare for it as we go through it year after year. I'm sure a lot of people have learned how to live with it, but of course the wildfires can be, some of those can be man-made, and it's pretty difficult to know when they're going to hit. But anyway, we also in other countries besides weather-related items. We have, of course, the riots in Cuba, where the people are protesting the living conditions there under that communist government, the Castro government, and the people in South Florida are well aware of living under that type of administration, and that's why they've come here to Florida. And they are trying to support the Cuban people and get them to rid themselves of that terrible oppression. Because in Haiti also there's been an assassination of the president there. So the world is in flux, and of course I think it always has been. The world, what do they say in the scriptures? The world is at enmity with God. So it's like we got to expect this because the world is in the grips of forces that are not and that do not have our best interest at heart. But we have to be able to overcome the evil of the world with good, and don't let it overcome you. And you can do that by becoming still and getting in touch with your conscience. Let your conscience be your guide, as it says. And try to get rid of some of your distractions. They seem to try to distract you with so many things. If you go on the internet now, there's all kinds of things to pull your attention toward them. A lot of it is money-making ideas, and some of them may be good. It's not bad to advertise your products if they're good products, and they have to let the people become aware of what you're selling. But to me, some of it just seems to be excess distraction, so I don't have a lot of wants. If you have your daily bread, as the bread says, give us this day our daily bread. And that's about the main material item that we need. So I want to go get right into the latest on the coronavirus pandemic with the statistics. The total on the global scale of the infected number is 194,731,238. That's up from 187 million plus 2 weeks ago. Active cases, 13,865,776. The deaths, 4,173,138. That's up from 4,046,917, or about 100,000, 120,000, 130,000 in 2 weeks, which would be about 65,000 a week. And then recovered, 176,692,326, and that's out of 194 infected, 195 million, let's say, 177 million have recovered. So as I've said in the past, there is a high probability you will recover. In the USA, figures infected 35,196,539. That's up from 34,731,593 2 weeks ago. The active cases 5,058,005. That's up from 2 weeks ago. Some of it, I think, has to do with this Delta variant that has come into level of awareness. And the deaths in the USA, 626,753. That's up from 622,845, or about a 4,000 number increase, which would be about 2,000 a week. So the number of deaths seems to be going down as compared to what it was, say, several months ago. And then the recovered in the U.S. is 29,511,781. Of the countries that have gone over a million infected cases, it's now 31 countries have exceeded a million infected on the global scale. And Portugal is getting very close, and may, next reporting, it may hit, get us into 32 or maybe even more countries, but Portugal is very close to a million. All right, well, I think I'd like to have you sit back and get a nice cold drink, maybe a lemonade or your favorite drink, because I'm going to play you a little bit from the big rally that took place yesterday in Phoenix, Arizona. If you don't know about it, President Trump had a rally there in Phoenix, and it was on Saturday. It was called the Protect Our Elections Rally, and it was yesterday around 6 p.m. The big crowd as usual, and it was sponsored by an organization called Turning Point Action. And I never heard of that, so I did a little research. And Turning Point Action is a 501c corp organization founded in May of 2019 by Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk. It is a political action committee intended to target Democrats. TPA, or Turning Point Action, purchased the assets of Students for Trump, a youth group founded in 2015 at Campbell University in Battle Creek, North Carolina. What is it? Can't read it to out. Blues Creek? It says Blues Creek, North Carolina. So it sounds like it's good that they're rallying the youth, the students of the country behind the a conservative foundation. Oh, excuse me. They sponsored a rally in Phoenix, and it was not too far away from where the Arizona audits are going on, and we should be getting some final results there. It's been a lot going on, but they're fighting the good fight and make sure against many oppositions that do not want the truth to come out. But many of us feel that the elections were very suspect and they need to be audited, because without faith in our elections, everything else becomes a moot point. But the president spoke. He speaks quite strongly on these issues, and he usually speaks for a couple of hours. So let's see if I can pick him up at a certain point and see what he has to say at the Turning Point Action Rally in Phoenix, Arizona. Here we go.
What you're doing here is incredible. As everyone here fully understands, the 2020 election was a total disgrace. It was the most corrupt. I tell it to Republicans, and a lot of them are very good people, and they say, well, sir, we have to get on to the future. Let me tell you, you're not going to have a future. First of all, our nation is being destroyed, but you're not going to have a future in 22 or 24 if you don't find out how they cheated with hundreds of thousands and even millions of votes, because you won't win anything. You won't win anything. And, you know, I tell Republicans, I say, you don't realize, because some of them, they're good meaning, really, a lot of them, most of them, we have certain people that are not good. I mean, they don't have the Mitt Romneys, the little Ben Sasses of the world. They don't have, I could name a few of them, little Ben Sass. Could I have your endorsement? Yes. The day after he won, he goes and starts going after Trump. But you know what? That's the way it is. But you know, I tell people, this is the biggest issue there is. This is bigger than the border. This is bigger than anything. This is the biggest issue. And I see it just here. And I say, I'd make a speech, and I'll talk about the border, because we straighten out the border. We have the strongest border in history. We straighten out the border, and that's a big deal. But when you look at all of the death and destruction that this election has caused, and wait till you see what's happening with inflation, wait till you see the real numbers on inflation and what's going on, and wait till you go to the pump today and you see $3.75, we were at $1.87 for a gallon of gasoline. It was the most corrupt, dishonest, and unfair election in the history of our country. The Democrats know it. the corrupt media right back there. A lot of people, they know it. Big tech knows it, and most importantly, we, the American people, know it. We know it. But because of the steadfast conservatives all across our nation, and that's really happening now, if you look at what's going on all across, they've come from so many different states to look at your audit procedures. They go back, and I'll call them. I'll say, how did you like it? What did you think? They said, we don't believe it. And then they're starting their own audits now. That's what's happening. They're coming and looking. They're looking at what Karen and Kelly, they're looking what they all set up here, and they can't take it. Wendy, what you've done. Borelli, I love you, Borelli, you Italian. I hope you're all Italian, Borelli. That's why I get along, okay? That's why I like him. Good. He's tough as nails, too. But you know what? They're coming and they're looking, and they go back to their state, and they say, this is the most incredible thing that we've seen anytime. Why wouldn't somebody want election integrity? Why wouldn't they want to know? And I would be very happy, it won't happen, but I would be very happy if they did it and everything was perfect. But you're not going to find that. In fact, the preliminary numbers are a total disaster. And we're going to go over those numbers. The facts are coming out. The truth is being uncovered, and the crime of the century is being fully exposed.
Yes, that is the big issue, ladies and gentlemen, voter fraud. And they're trying to make us feel like we're sore losers because we won't accept the results of the election. But we follow our conscience, and we are not going to be buffaloed or pressured into accepting these results when we haven't satisfied ourselves about the integrity. Now, I want to go over a recent poll that came out on this issue. It's a Pew poll, famous polling organization. It shows the truth about voter fraud. I'm going to read from the article I have here from the Washington Examiner, I believe it is, the Washington Times. In past decades, voting was deemed an honorable, patriotic, and responsible act, a civic duty. Concern about voter fraud, however, has taken center stage. Republican suspect Democrats are padding voter rolls with undocumented immigrants and even dead people. While Democrats launch dishonest theatrics, Republicans will continue our comprehensive efforts to make it easier to vote but harder to cheat, the Republican National Committee said in a statement. Democrats in turn accuse the GOP of voter suppression and remain wary of election integrity reforms. The meticulous new poll, however, offers some clarity as the 2022 midterm elections loom on the horizon. Nearly all Americans, 94%, including 95% of both Republicans and Democrats, say it is important that people who are legally qualified to vote are able to cast a ballot, with 82% saying it is very important, reports a new Pew Research Center poll. Then the persistent difference of opinions emerge. Another 81% overall also say it is important to prevent people who are not legally qualified to vote from doing so. 78% of Republicans and 44% of Democrats agree. Now, why is it that there's so few, small number of Democrats? This is saying that it is important to prevent people who are not legally qualified to vote from doing so. That should be like a 90% on both party affiliation. Among all respondents, 56% are confident that measures to achieve this already happen. Though with another sharp party split, 30% of Republicans and 79% of Democrats agree. The survey found that 57% overall agree that voting was a fundamental right for every adult U.S. citizen and should not be restricted in any way. 32% of Republicans and 78% of Democrats agreed with that idea. Meanwhile, 42% overall believe in this statement. Voting is a privilege that comes with responsibilities and can be limited if adult U.S. citizens don't meet some requirements. Among Republicans, 67% agreed compared to 21% of Democrats. And one more item for those who believe that the electoral system is flawed or unfair. 77% of Americans overall are confident that legally qualified voters are able to cast a ballot. 87% of Republicans and 69% of Democrats agree. So the majority of Americans know what is right and what they want, and they're going to fight to make sure it becomes a reality. Let's see, what else do I have? The well, let me jump right into the financial figures because they seem to be running out of time already. We go close by so quick. The Dow closed at 35,061.55, was up from 2 weeks ago, as was the NASDAQ at 14,836.99 and the S&P at 4,411.79, both of them also up from the 2 weeks prior show. Gold closed at 18,02.20 and silver at 25.17. Both of those were down from 2 weeks ago. Gold seems to be struggling with getting out of its stuck position. Of course, at the end of June, the gold price had hit a 2.5-month low as the U.S. consumer confidence soared to pre-pandemic levels in June. American consumer confidence is currently at the highest level since the start of the pandemic in March of last year. So I believe a lot of people are thinking that the coronavirus is winding down and the economy is opening up, so they may be concluding that it's that the economy will start to bounce back, but I would be hesitant before I jump into that boat. Let's see some news here in Brazil. The central bank there has increased its gold reserves by more than 50% in the last few months. So we've been noticing that the central banks are bulking up on gold. Bitcoin, by the way, has fallen below 30,000 this past week. But now, it's, as I'm looking at it now, it's bounced back to, I think it's over 35,000. So it's very volatile. I myself have not gotten involved in it. I don't understand it, and I feel that it doesn't. I'm not saying it won't be something to contend with in the future, but I'm not going to get involved until I am confident about what I'm doing. Now, with regard to the polls and the viewpoint of the people, you can see it somewhat reflected in the presidential approval and disapproval ratings that I get every 2 weeks from Real Clear Politics' latest averages, which tonight's show is, goes from July 6th to July 22nd. And this is an average of several pollsters. The approval rating of Joe Biden is 52.5, and that's down from 2 weeks ago. Down slightly, but it is down, and it's been down for pretty much 4 weeks now. It was down 2 weeks ago. It was down from the previous 2 weeks. the disapproval rating, unlike 2 weeks ago, the disapproval rating has gone up from 42.9 to now 43.5. And as you start to see the negative results of this administration, I think you're going to see more and more people disapproving of Biden's numbers. So we'll keep an eye on that for you. Inflation, of course, is we got to watch. The Federal Reserve keeps using the term it's only transitory. In other words, it's not anything but a passing event, and it won't be something to be concerned about long term. But I would hold off on jumping to that conclusion. Peter Schiff has a good article that you might want to read at schiffradio.com. I might just read a little bit here. He starts off, the headline is, "How Transitory is Transitory?" What exactly is transitory? Last week, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell was asked to provide a much-needed clarity as to how this term applies to our current bout of much higher than forecast inflation, given that much of the economic outlook rests on how quickly the surge subsides. The definition is hardly semantic. Based on this, on his years of experience and the mountains of data the Fed has collected, the chairman offered this direct response when asked about the practical meaning of transitory. Then, in quotes, "it depends," end quote. That's about as much detail as he was prepared to offer. Although Chair Powell has only had the job for a few years, he may be well advised to familiarize himself with the Fed's checkered history with the term transitory. Back in 06 and 07, Powell's predecessors asserted countless times that the troubles then arising in the mortgage market were transitory. As it turns out, they were horribly wrong. More recently, the Fed has been similarly wrong in their predictions about inflation. I don't see how we can have much confidence, this is me now talking, much confidence in the Fed when we see how they perform. So coming to an end, I want to say that we're going into the non-live portion of the show. I'm going to talk about Dr. Chaps's post on Jack Phillips, who was back in court again. And I invite you to go to his website, which is prayinjesusname.org, and listen to the complete interview with Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop and his attorney, Kristen Wagoner of Alliance Defending Freedom. The next show will be on Blog Talk Radio on August the 8th. We'll be through the month of July, and we'll be getting into our third month of the summer. Our second month. So we will keep an eye on that for you. But right now, I want to thank you for coming, and wish you can come again on August the 8th. And we'll have another go at it to try to do what we can to help make a more perfect union. So God bless you all, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Good night, everyone. Well, welcome back, everyone. This is your host, Bostonian, with the non-live portion of the show. 15 minutes of yours truly talking and reporting on what he thinks is important. I want to play a clip from Dr. Chaps that I found today in my research for the show, and it has to do with Jack Phillips, the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado, where he's been basically oppressed for the last several years because of his Christian faith. And he won one case against having to produce a cake for a homosexual couple. And he had to go to the Supreme Court until he finally won. But now he has another case where he's been actually found guilty in Colorado courts regarding a transgender case that he couldn't in good conscience make that cake for that purpose either, to celebrate a transgender individual and promoting what he feels is a sin against God. So he has a great attorney. I'm familiar with the Alliance Defending Freedom, adflegal.org, I believe it is. I would encourage you to check them out and maybe give them some support, financial support. The attorney here, Kristen Wagoner, you'll hear her talk about the case as I play the clip. So here is Dr. Chaps with Karen, or Kristen Wagoner of the Lions Defending Freedom. Here we go.
There is so much legal news happening under the Biden administration, it's like rapid fire attacks on Christians. And I want to introduce first our guest, who is General Counsel of Alliance Defending Freedom, Kristen Wagoner, who is a Christian attorney, and you're defending many of these religious cases. In a few minutes, we're going to have Jack Phillips on the set, the famous Christian baker who won the Supreme Court case, and Dr. Davis with College of the Ozarks. Both of these organizations are under fire, but ADF has their back. What is ADF?
Alliance Defending Freedom is the world's largest legal organization that is committed to protecting the sanctity of life, free speech, religious freedom, and parental rights. And we work both in the courtrooms, in the legislatures, as well as in the public square with public advocacy.
Well, Christian lawyers are hard to come by, but you found a bunch of them. You have 70 full-time lawyers and did you say over 300? How many affiliates?
We have about 3,000 allied attorneys, over 3,000, and those are attorneys that are in private practice.
Wow.
That agree with our mission and purpose and are helping us to protect freedom throughout the United States. And we also have attorneys that are involved internationally.
And you do all this pro bono or free for the Christian who's being attacked?
Our services are provided free of charge, and it's our privilege to do so.
So let me get right to the news, and we'll have Jack Phillips on in a second, but didn't he already win this case? Like 3 years ago, the Supreme Court ruled 7-2 that a Christian baker doesn't have to make a gay wedding cake. But last week in Colorado, an appeals court judge said, oh, he does have to make a transgender birthday cake. What does that mean?
The United States Supreme Court ruled in Jack's favor 7-2 and found that there was clear and impermissible hostility towards Jack shown by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. I had the privilege of arguing that case before the Supreme Court, and the decision was clear on free exercise grounds. It said that it's wrong for the government to try to exclude people from bringing their faith into the marketplace. It also said that it's wrong for the government to apply a double standard to severely punish someone like Jack for his beliefs and yet allow others to have free speech rights when it comes to designing custom cakes. And lastly, it affirmed the principle that those who believe marriage is between a man and a woman are basing those beliefs on reasonable religious and philosophical premises, that it's not at all akin to racial bigotry and should be protected by the Constitution.
So Jack already won that case, but now along comes a transgender lawyer. He calls himself Adams Cardina. I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but has had some kind of transgender experience in his life where he wants now to celebrate that with a pink cake that with blue icing that some even said he wants pictures of the devil smoking marijuana on the cake. And he goes to Jack Phillips. Jack says, no, I don't want to make that cake. I'm a Christian. I won't celebrate sin. What happened next?
Well, that's not actually exactly what Jack said. In fact, what Jack was saying is that he can't express a message that would violate his core convictions. And that transgender activist attorney requested a cake that was designed to do just that. The attorney said the pink on the the blue on the outside and the pink on the inside is about celebrating the attorney's gender transition as well as the attorney's birthday.
It's a message.
Yes, it has a message. And the First Amendment says that we shouldn't, it essentially holds under the First Amendment, the Supreme Court, that no one should be forced to express a message that violates their convictions, just as you shouldn't on this television show.
Right.
We can't be compelled to speak something that violates our core beliefs.
Even if the government cannot restrict my free speech, the government also cannot order me to speak the government's message, which is what this crazy Colorado judge, left-wing Democrat, is now ruling against Jack Phillips and saying, yeah, you got to make that cake.
Not only that, but this was clearly a setup from the very beginning. We can see that in the sense that the transgender attorney requested the cake the very day that the Supreme Court agreed to hear Jack's case and it was publicized. And as you referenced earlier, the attorney didn't request Satan on the cake. The attorney had a second request, again to trip Jack up, asking for a cake that would have Satan on it with a marijuana joint, again hoping to establish some sort of religious discrimination claim. And as Jack will tell you, there were many other things this attorney said.
I'm sorry for laughing. This is just so obviously a trap. He's just trying to get Jack to violate his conscience and sin against God. But Jack is a man of God. We're going to have him on after this short break. I also want you to set up for us our third segment here. What's happening at College of the Ozarks?
College of the Ozarks is an institution that is standing.
Okay, well, there's a great attorney, Kristen Wagoner, who is fighting hard for Jack and has been successful on the first case at the Supreme Court. I think it was a 7-2 decision in Jack's favor. So I invite you to go on to Dr. Chaps' website and listen to that. The completion of that interview, along with Jack himself, is going to be on in the next segment, which we won't have time for. But you can go to PrayInJesusName.org and listen to the one I just played you again. And she also is fighting for her Alliance Defending Freedom is fighting for case in the a church in the Ozarks, I believe it's called, who are also under attack for their Christian faith. So we need to pray for the law firm and the lawyers that are doing a great work on behalf of their clients. And I encourage everyone to follow them and help them the best way that you can. So let me you're getting to the point where I'm going to kind of wrap up the show with some more of President Trump speaking, and as he finishes up in Arizona. So let's see if I can pick that up here.
And support the men and women of law enforcement. And above all, we live by the words of our national motto, and it will never, ever change. In God we trust. Sustained by these timeless American values and powered by the strength of these unstoppable ideas, we will press forward. We will have victory after victory. Never forget the heart, soul, brilliance, passion, and patriotism of the young people here today. They're young, great people. And Charlie, I want to thank you. What a job you've done. What a job you've done. And to the devoted citizens all across our country, is so much greater than our opponents can even imagine. We are there. We have massive majorities, and we're much stronger than them. Much stronger than them. We're much stronger than they are. Because unlike their agenda, our movement is not driven by the lust for control and domination of others. Our movement is driven by a love for America and an ironclad faith in the American people. I have that faith, and you have that faith. We are not fighting for socialism, communism. We're not fighting for servitude. We're fighting for God, for country, and we're fighting for freedom. We know in our veins that our American inheritance was passed down to us by generations of patriots who gave everything they had, their sweat, their blood, and even their very lives, to build America into the most powerful nation in the history of the world. And we are not going to let it be taken away from us by a small group of radical left Marxist maniacs. So my fellow Americans, our movement is the greatest in American history. There has never been a movement like we have had. We won the most important election, 2016. We did more than any other administration has ever done, and we did it quickly. We're not going to let it be taken away from us. The 2022 midterms are the next phase of the battle. And we will not stop there. We will keep on going until we have made America great again. With your help, we will take back the House. We will take back the Senate. And we will take back that beautiful, gorgeous White House. And we will take back our country. So working together, we will make America powerful again. Thank you. Thank you. The whole country is watching. The whole country is watching what you have done. Thank you. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you to Turning Point. Thank you.
Finishes it up, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed it. We're going to sign off. We'll see you in 2 weeks on August the 8th. So God bless you all. Keep using your three V's, and God bless America as we sign off with that message.